prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudaga kartahami dimanyate, that the bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes, he thinks himself to be the doer of the activities which are actually carried out by the modes of nature. So it's not that the soul does nothing at all, but he's thinking he's doing something that he's actually not doing, and he's not aware of what he's actually doing. So that's called illusion. He thinks that when the material body moves, that he's the only cause behind the activities of the material body. But Krishna says there are many causes of which the soul is only one cause. And he summarizes them as adhishtanam tathakarta, karanam chakutak vidan, vividas chakutak chesta, daivam chaivatra panchama. So there's daiva, the super soul, the supreme lord, who senses the desire of the soul, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. So the super soul, he understands what the soul wants, and then through the material nature, which he summarizes as the body that we're in, plus the senses, in order because we have to perceive, and then the false ego, in contact with the material energy, gives us certain conceptions of life. So combined with the super soul, the deity, the karta, the soul, desiring, conceptions of life achieved through the false ego, the senses and the body, activities go on. But under false ego, the soul is thinking he's the only doer. And therefore he takes credit. And when, as soon as we identify with this body, then we think, I am Indian, I am American. And we think, well, this place belongs to me. Because I'm American, I was born here. Or I'm from Holland, Holland belongs to me, whatever. And then we form all these false associations. This is my family, this is my society, this is my body. Nirmana, moha, citta, sangha, dosha, adhyatma, nitya. We forget that we're actually all eternal. That these are just dresses we put on and we take off. Asam si jirnani yata vihaya, evani grinati niroparani. Just like the soul puts on certain, just like a person takes on new clothes, giving up the old and useless ones. So similarly, the soul is taking one body after another, giving up the old and useless one. So then Krishna says, when we have free adhyatma nitya, we understand the eternal, and then we can not become so much influenced. We can tolerate adhyatma nitya, vinivritta kama. The impulse is coming from lust, or anger, or greed. We can learn tolerance for the right conception. And learning that conception, we can tolerate the dualities of heat and cold, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, or male, female, mine, yours, whatever. Dvandvaya vimukha, become freeman. Dvandvaya vimukha, sukaduka sangher. And tolerating, we won't be so much disturbed whether my body is happy, my body, mind is in distress. And then, gachatni muda padami abhiyam tat. And then we can actually focus our attention on the spiritual, on the supreme, and therefore become eligible to go back to that supreme. And then Krishna says, so that's text number 5. That natad vasyate suryo nishashanka bhavaka, that there's another world where there is no need of sunlight or moonlight or fire, electricity. When one returns it, he doesn't have to come back to this temporary world. But mamayam so jivaloke jivabhutak sanatanam manakshastran indriyani prakriti stani parashiti. The living entity is now struggling with his material body and the six senses which include the mind. Karshiti. So material existence means we're struggle for maintenance. So we can't give up the struggle, because it's in order to achieve self-realization, we need the body, we need the mind to engage in the process. But sharira yadavatmoti yaschat yukramati shraha yuhivaitani samyati vayorganda yivashya. The living entity is carrying his conceptions of life from one body to another, just like the air is carrying aroma, unless he takes one kind of body and then quits it to take another. So the example that Krishna gives is just like air is always pure, but sometimes when the air comes in contact with the rose garden, then it smells very sweet. But when the air comes in contact with garbage, it smells very foul. The air remains the same, but due to association, it appears sometimes very sweet and sometimes very foul. Similarly, the living entity doesn't change its nature, but by association with the modes of nature, it sometimes appears to be good or bad or a combination of both. But this is only due to his conception, ultimately, of life. When he thinks himself to be in the mode of goodness, then he acts good. When he's impelled by the conceptions in the mode of goodness, he acts good. When he's impelled by the conceptions or the impulses in the modes of passion and ignorance, then he acts accordingly. But when he's impelled by transcendental understanding, then he utilizes body, mind, and the service of the Supreme. And that's what liberates him. Strotram chakshu sparsham cha rasanam grananeva cha adishtanam anakshanyam vishayam upasevate. Following the conceptions of the intelligence and the mind, he winds up in different bodies, taking certain type of strotram, hearing, ears, and eyes, and nose, and sense of smell. And these are all grouped around the mind, thus he enjoys different types of sense objects. But ukraman kamsitimvati bunjana vagunandita vimuro nanapashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish, they can't understand how the living entity is quitting his body or what kind of body he's enjoying under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. Therefore, life, human life is meant to be trained with jnana chakshus or shastra chakshus, so we can see things clearly and with that clear conception make the right decisions so that ultimately the truth is revealed to us. We can see through our eyes reality. That we're different from the body, we should be under the control of the internal energy of Krishna, the Daivi property, but due to our mistaken attempt to lord over the material nature and enjoy separately from the Supreme, we're now under the influence of the Maya Shakti, the external energy of Krishna. And then Krishna says, Yatanto Vyakritatno Naivam Pashanti Chetasaha, that the foolish, they cannot understand how the endeavoring transcendentalist who is situated in self-realization can see all this clearly, but those whose eyes are not trained, although they may try, cannot see what's taking place. So it can't be realization or the absolute or reality is not attained simply by intellectual speculation. It has to be attained by practical activities in spiritual life. And then the Supreme can reveal reality to us. It can't simply be by force or by experiment, by any other way other than surrender. And then Krishna starts going on, Yada Ditti Katam Tejo Jagatpasapur. What was the next one? Yada Ditti Katam Tejo Jagatpasaya Te Kilam Hichandramasya Yat Shagno Tat Teja Vidimamaka. The splendor of the fire, the splendor of the sun, the splendor of the moon, the splendor of everything is actually coming from God. It's not that it's all happening by accident. Gama Vishyatu Bhutani. Gama Vishyatu Bhuta. Dharya Maham Ojasa. Krishnami Chosudhi Sarva. Modhudvara Satakaha. That I enter into the planets, and by my power they all stay in their orbits. I become the moon, and supply the juice of life to all vegetables. So as Lord Brahma says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Brahma Samhita, Yatschakshaesha savita sakala grahanam raja samasa suramurte shesha teja yatsyadaya samritam kalasamri kalachakro govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. That just like if you have a cow or a bull, and he's tied by his nose to a rope, with a rope, to a grinding post. The bull or the ox, they walk around the grinding post, and they, with a very heavy weight behind them, they pull it and crush the grains. So this bull or this ox is so powerful, it can pull a weight many, many times heavier than any human being can pull. But still, because he's tied with a rope by the nose to a grinding post, he can't move one inch beyond the grinding by the post. Similarly, the sun, which is so big, full of infinite effulgence, it is circulating in orbit, and it can't move one inch above, beyond the orbit, although it's millions of times more powerful than the Earth planet. So Lord Brahma says it's because of the will of the Supreme Lord, it's by his energy, he keeps the sun in the orbit. So that's his practical experience. The sun rises at its appointed time, the sun sets at appointed time. We have a watch made by human beings, but the watch is simply an attempt to measure the exact movement of the sun. So if an intelligent person made the watch, a supremely intelligent person must have made the sun to be so exact in its orbit. And then Krishna says that aham vaishnaro buddhva praninam deha ashritya prana pana samayukta prashantinam chatur vidam. I become the fire digestion, and therefore I digest the four pancha, five kinds of foodstuffs. So we have experience, we're eating food, we're digesting it, we're assimilating it, the unnecessary parts are being eliminated, and yet we're, practically speaking, unconscious of the process. But no scientist can duplicate such an exact process. So a supremely intelligent person is doing it. Just like if the scientist can make a machine, you put grass in one end, and on the other end comes out milk. Surely they will win a prize for it. But the supreme scientist has created such a machine. Do you know what it's called? The cow, right. Unfortunately, they don't give us the cow any Nobel Prize. They don't give him any credit, but it's doing a job much better than any scientist could do. And then Krishna says, Savasya Chaam Ridhi Sanavishto Matat Smritira Jnanam Apoonam Ja Vedayishchara Savaha Hamaiva Vedyo Vedanta Vid Vedakrit Eva Chaham Vedanta Krit Vedavid Eva Chaham. That I'm seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance and knowledge and forgetfulness. So for the devotee, Krishna gives them remembrance of him. He gives them knowledge of them, and he helps them forget illusion. And for the non-devotee, he gives them intelligence by which they remain identified with the material existence, life after life. He helps the non-devotee forget him and remember only material existence. But the fact is, we can see that everyone has intelligence, not only human beings, but even the lower species of life have intelligence. A little ant crawling on the ground, he's looking for sugar because he has intelligence how to find it. And if we want to find the sugar, we can follow the ant and get there quicker. So intelligence acts like a teacher instructing the student, or the father instructing his son. It's superior to the student, or superior to the son. So that intelligence is all pervading. That's known as the super soul. So Krishna says, I am that person who's giving remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And if we want to find out about him, we can study the Vedas. And his final, the summary of the Vedas is the Vedanta, which he compiled through his agent, through his incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva. Then he says that, I think the next one is about prana, isn't it? Apane jubate prana, prana, pane, katapare, prana, pane, kati, rudva, maybe at 16, that's another chapter. Then he says about Shira, what is that? Yasmin Shira Tito Lavimo Purusho Loke Shara Chakshra Yosha Shara Sarvani Bhutani Kuta Shara Uchite Kuta Twa Sharam Uchite. That in this world there are both the fallible and the infallible. But I'm above. In this material world, everyone is called fallible. And in the spiritual world, everyone is called infallible. Fallible means that here, we have a tendency to follow our mind and senses and get confused. But in the spiritual world, or in spiritual consciousness, people don't follow material minds and senses and don't get confused. They know exactly who they are and what they're supposed to be doing. And then Krishna says, Uttama Purushasthanya Paramatma Darita Uttama Purushasthanya Paramatma Darita Dolokatvayam Abhisha Vivatyayam Ishvaraha, that I am above the both the fallible and infallible, and that Lord in the spiritual world I'm known as that Supreme Person. Yad Aksharam Apichotama. See, Yasmin Asmin. Next word. Akshara Apichotama. Yasmin Shara Kitoha. Akshara Apichotama. Atasmi Lokevede cha Pratitak Purushotama. That everyone who knows, because I am transcendental to both the fallible and the infallible, that I am proclaimed both in this world and the Vedas as that Supreme Person. Yomam evam asamudo janati purushottama sasaravit pajantemam sarabhavena bharata. That anyone who knows me, Supreme Personality of God, and without doubting, is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service in me without any doubt. Itite gyanamakyatam guyam guyatama maya vishrim shetada sheshena itechisititata. Let's try that again. Itite gyanamakyatam guyam guyatama maya bhutva bhutva buddhimatsya krita kritashtivarata. That this is Iti Guyatama Shastram. This is the most confidential part of all the Vedic scriptures. Whoever knows this will become wise and his endeavors will know perfection. So that's the 15th chapter. That it's a proclamation that the material world is not going on accidentally. It's not that there's no foundation or no God in control. It's not simply produced out of sex desire and has no other cause than lust. But it actually is a Supreme Person whose, by his energies, the material world goes on. And we ourselves, when we recognize that Supreme Person and engage in service, and we become aware of everything as it really is, and then we become eligible to go back to the spiritual world. So, any questions about that? Maya captures us. And she's an equal opportunity employer. She captures everyone equally. It doesn't matter if we're Lord Brahma or the most insignificant ant. As long as we have the wrong idea and mentality, then we're put into illusion. But as soon as we have the right mentality, and we act accordingly, then gradually the illusion is dissipated, and we realize we're not the Lord's material nature, and we're not the enjoyers here. Unfortunately, in modern society, people are taught exactly the opposite of that. They think everyone here is the proprietor of their body, that they're the proprietor of their house, they're the proprietor of their family, their country. But even the animals are not so much bewildered as we are. Because if a bird flies in here from Russia, the Belgian birds will not stop the bird at the border and ask for its passport and visa and claim that there's not enough trees in Belgium for it to fly to. So even the birds are not as bewildered as the modern society, as the modern human being. Therefore, we should understand things as Krishna explains them and then act accordingly. And then at least we'll come to a higher conception of life. Anything else?
How long did it take in this expedition?
What's that?
From how long have you been in this path?
Since how long have you been on this path?
I started in 1968. Just beginning, actually.
So, can you share how did you meet Guru?
Well, I was a student at the University of Buffalo in New York, and I was walking along one day. And then my whole existence changed. Without taking drugs, by the way. I guess drugs would have been easier. Probably not long lasting. I hadn't taken drugs at that time, especially any psychedelics. But I realized that I was just walking on and all the buildings became very beautiful. I walked to the only nice place in Buffalo, which was the cemetery. Because they had a nice park there and waterfalls and a stream. And all my senses were so enlivened that I could, you know, hear the stream. It was so beautiful. And I looked at all the rocks. And I once realized that everything was unlimited. And that there must be a supreme intelligence behind everything. So right after that, within the week, I became a vegetarian. I started to do yoga throughout the day besides my studies at college. I got a job along with my college working as a model at an art studio doing yoga. And I started to study astrology. And then one of my friends told me that, well, I saw at the university campus some devotees would come up. And when I was standing in my head at the university, I'd see them. And then one of my friends from college invited me to go down to the little center they opened. So I went down there and they introduced me to the chanting of Hare Krishna. So at first I thought that, why are they wasting their time? They should be doing something practical, like doing extra hatha yoga. But I tried it for some time, and I was chanting 25 rounds a day after that. And then one day I was on the bus with my roommate, who also joined the Hare Krishna movement. And when I was on the bus, I noticed as soon as we started to chant, everyone seemed very peaceful. So I thought, wow, this is very powerful. Then we went home to his parents, and with his father and his sister, and they were fighting with each other. We started to chant Hare Krishna, and they calmed down, made up, and became friends again. So then I thought that as long as I chant Hare Krishna, everything's all right, and as soon as I stop, then I'm going to get into trouble. So I thought I better move into the temple. So then I moved into the temple. And I continued my studies at the university, living in the temple. But then suddenly, all my friends at the university, my professors, because I was relatively quite a good student there, I was on the high dean's list most of the time, so they thought I was one of them. And suddenly I appeared as a Martian in the school. Because we, as soon as we joined the temple, this is what we wore. So suddenly all my friends weren't my friends anymore. And, but in my class, there were the same devotees who were living in the temple were also in some of my classes. So there, first there was one bald head in the class, then two, then three. And professors were starting to get worried that maybe, you know, there was some epidemic going around, people were losing their hair. In any case, that's how I came to the Hare Krishna movement.
Do you teach yoga as well?
Yes, I'm a certified, I don't know if you ever heard of BKS Iyengar? Mm-hmm. I'm a certified Iyengar teacher. I first started with Shivananda for 20 years, and then the last 20 years I've been doing BKS Iyengar. I'm also the health and welfare minister for ISKCON. So I also teach Ayurveda. And I taught that in Vrindavan for around 7 years. And now I do Ayurvedic seminars around the world. So I also teach Tai Chi. And I also teach Jyotish.
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 So you know
Jyotish
as well?
I know something. I mean, Vedic knowledge. It's like an ocean.
When did you enter Vrindavan?
Vrindavan the first time?
Yeah.
1974.
And you stayed there for 7 years?
No, I went twice a year. I taught Ayurvedic seminars twice a year, a month at a time.
Do you practice Ayurveda?
Do I practice?
Medicine.
I don't give consultations usually. I just do the teaching. Because first of all, I'm a sannyasi, I can't take the pulse of ladies. So I don't do that. And tongue diagnosis I learned also, but it's not nice when the ladies stick their tongue at me.
So you can't see the head also?
No, I don't.
But you know by the face or only hands?
I usually when I do rarely I take their pose, but I learned that also. But I usually by astrology. Or just by listening, by symptoms. You can also do it just because that's also one of the just by hearing. Mm-hmm.
In your spiritual journey in the last 4 years, what was your best weapon or what were your tips against in this maya that you said, this illusion? What did you find best that you find?
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare
Hare. Just the chant.
Oh, the chanting. Because Krishna and his name are not different. So when we chant Hare Krishna in the right mood, we can actually experience Krishna's presence.
And then you get detached from the maya.
Well, yeah. There is no more maya. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Tavam Maya Haya Andhakar. Just like when their sun is in the sky, there's no more clouds, there's no more darkness. So similarly, as soon as we become conscious of Krishna, there's no more illusion. So that I've experienced. As much as I'm conscious of Krishna's holy name, to that extent I'm conscious of everything else also. Story about what? Well, one day, Yudhisthira Maharaj, his brothers and him were in the forest. They were exiled. So during their exile, they were sore that they had become very thirsty, but they couldn't find any water. So one of them climbed up in a tree and they found some water. Yudhishthira Maharaj told Sahadev that he should go and get some water and bring it back. So he went there to the lake, and he heard from a voice from the lake that before you drink the water, you should answer my questions. But he drank the water without answering the questions, and he died. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj sent Nakula to find out what happened. He went to the lake, and again he saw his dead brother, but he was very thirsty. He was about to drink, and again he heard the same voice. But he drank the water anyhow, and he died. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj sent Bhima to go get the water. And Bhima went there, he saw his two dead brothers, heard the voice again, but drank the water anyhow. Then Arjuna went, and the same thing happened to him. Finally, Yudhishthira Maharaj went, saw his four dead brothers, was very thirsty, was about to drink the water, and he heard the same voice. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was a little bit more intelligent. He said, all right, I'll answer your questions. But he asked him 100 questions. And the last question he asked is, what is the most amazing thing in this world? And the answer was, does anyone know? Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gacchanti, yamalaya, shesha, sarvi, chanti, kimaskari, akashkari, takpuram. Ahani, ahani, bhutani. Every day we're seeing so many living entities, gacchanti, yamalaya, are entering into the jaws of Yamaraj, to the abode of death. But the most amazing thing is that those who stay behind, they think that they're going to live forever. Therefore, we should learn that common sense, which is not very common, that we may make big, big plans to live here forever and expand our empires or remodel our house, whatever it may be. But still, it's not going to last forever. In the meantime, we should actually find out who we really are and what the purpose of life is. Otherwise, we'll be simply shrama eva hi kevala, simply wasting our time. So modern society, they made big, big advancements in atomic energy and space travel and trying to do computers and 3D television, but they failed to find out who they are. Therefore, at the end of this life, you're not going to be able to take your 3D television with you. That has to remain behind. All we can take with us is the reactions for our activities. So if we make our activities spiritual, then we won't have to take our reactions. Otherwise, our next lifetime, we may not be able to watch 3D television, at least not as a human being. Grantaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.